Before we take our text, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. Father, you have provided us with a message this morning that can be a great help to this church, a great help to the ministries and things that we have in this church. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will guide us in the Scriptures, that you will speak to us and minister the words of God to us in such a way that we're instructed, in such a way that we are maybe reproved, corrected if need be, but strengthened and encouraged. Lord, what we have to talk about today is of grave importance to Christians. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will speak to us in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, in such a way, Lord, that we can understand the text and then understand how you're applying the text to our lives. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, a very familiar passage. We're going to concentrate primarily on one verse in the passage, but let's read the passage beginning with verse 10. This concerns the whole armor of God until we get to the verse so that we understand its context. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Notice he calls that a wrestling in verse 12. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, in this particular passage, Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God because we're in a fight. We need to stand against the wiles of the devil. He compares what we do to wrestling. We wrestle, he says, not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual things, spiritual beings and so forth. And then he describes the armament. He says in verse 14, having loins girt about with the truth, that's going to be like you see a soldier would wear a girdle or a girt with the sword in it. So that, loins girt about with the truth. Breastplate of righteousness, so that's going to shield him against a direct blow. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so you see these are spiritual things. And our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, knowing that when we go, we are always ready to be used by God to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. Above all, he says in verse 16, taking the shield of faith, because that's how you quench the fiery darts of the wicked, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what do we have then? We have something on our feet. We have something here in the middle. We have on a breastplate. We have a shield. We have a sword. We have a helmet. two parts of our bodies are not covered by the whole armor of God. The back, because you're to stand, not to run. And you don't need your back protected if you're not planning on retreating, because you can't get shot in the back if you're standing facing the enemy. And that's what he told us to do, stand. And the other part that's not covered are your knees. You know, oftentimes when you see men that are dressed in armor for battle, they've got some leg greaves. When we quail hunt around here, put on chaps or put on something around your legs. Or if you fish sometimes in areas where there's stingrays, you put something on there to protect the lower part of your legs. There's nothing for that. And the reason is found in verse 18, praying always. You don't need anything on your knees if you're on your knees. You stand by kneeling. You fight by praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You probably know this, but prayer is prayer. Somebody say, pray for me about such, such, you pray. Supplication, earnest, humble, importune prayer. That is just your child's in the hospital and you're there and you're begging God. That kind of thing. Supplication. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, in verse 10 through 17, what's he describing? He's describing a soldier. He's outfit for war, or wrestling in this case, with spiritual powers. And so he's a soldier. Then I will say to you, verse 18 is in the context of this warfare. Paul says in another passage, we wrestle not against, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. One of those weapons is prayer. And so if he describes everything from verse 10 to 17 as a warfare of a soldier, then we read in verse 18 that context of fighting. You ever heard the expression prayer warrior? If it came from anywhere in the Bible, I would suggest it came from here. Because you can see there's a battle, there is a warfare, there is armor, there is a fight, and the person who is fighting in this thing is praying. Now, with that thought in mind, consider this. We have a church here. We are a body of believers. Every person here today in the sound of my voice who has personally trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. You've been born again. You recognize that whatever you were doing in the past, living by your religion or working or not even concerned about salvation, you realize Jesus Christ offered you the free gift of salvation because he died for your sins. He was buried for your sins. He rose from the dead. And you received the free gift of salvation. You received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you are now a child of God. You're born again. Every person in here like that, which is most of you, at least. We are together in what amounts to a part of the body of Christ. We function here in this church like a body of believers. And I realize when we're saved, we're baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And Paul was in there, and Peter and John and all of us. But here, we function like a body. And the Bible says, God hath set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. I believe when you come here and join this church, I believe that the Lord led you here. We give you plenty of time to be sure about that decision and to learn about the church before you ever make that decision. And when you make that decision, we don't think it's accidental. We think the Lord had something to do with that. Do you agree with that? And as a result, then God has something for us to do. Now, one of the things that you can obviously see that he has for me to do is to pastor. or pester, depending on what end of this you're on. And obviously to preach and teach, to do personal work, to pray, to be a husband to my wife. Those are duties that I have to perform here. God set it up that way. And you want me concentrating on those things, and I want concentrating on those things. And when I do, and when the other pastors here do, then you're fed by the teaching of the Word of God and preaching of the Word of God, and your life strengthens and is improved as a result of that. It should be. Should be. And then we have other people in the church that do other things, like we have Sunday school teachers. And they're very valuable. Because some of the things that I teach would be hard for somebody that's in the first grade to understand. Same Bible, but with a teacher teaching in the first grade, they can get something to lay a foundation that allows them to grow so that they can be adults in the Lord and be strong Christians. Thank God for them. Nursery workers. People that sing. Pianists. Play musical instruments. Violins, trumpets. Those are all great duties, great responsibilities. Now keep your finger where you are, because we're going to come back to this text and just turn one page to the left. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 16. Paul describes our relationship in this body this way. From whom the whole body, verse 16, chapter 4, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice, the whole body is fitly joined together. Watch it. Every joint supplieth, and every part is involved. See that? I was visiting with a couple one time, and we were talking about, you know, becoming involved in the church and doing something in the church. And I think the conversation went something like, well, all the jobs are filled. Well, that's true. In some respects, we have Sunday school teachers. But then we also have a teacher in training. We have, you know, at least three pianists. We have a church secretary. We have a pastor. Youth pastor, associate pastor. We got, you know, when you look at it that way, you say, well, so what is there to me to do? You just read about it. You just read about it here in verse 18. You can be a prayer warrior. You say, well, there's no recognition for that. Maybe not down here, but buddy, there sure will be in heaven. Jesus said, I need to pray. I pray in my closet, so nobody's gonna give me any honor, and you're not here for that. That honor and glory and praise, they go to God Almighty. But you can be a prayer warrior. Say, well, there doesn't seem to be much value in that. I hope when we finish this lesson, you change your mind. Because I would suggest to you that being a prayer warrior in the context of this is probably the most vital function needed in this church. You see, you could have a commander and you could have infantry and you could have an enemy. And if nobody was out there on the front line fighting, the commander could do nothing. Jesus can't accomplish all that He wants to do in our church until there are those that are fighting in the trenches of this warfare. The need, I believe, is as great as it has ever been. And Ephesians 4 said, according to the effectual working. The effectual working. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is effectual work. God does something in response to prayer. Now, you're a soldier, whether you wanted to be one or not. and one of your weapons besides the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit is prayer. Notice he said again, it's a wrestling match in verse 12. Would you just hold your finger here for a second before we expound this text and turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. There was a day when Jacob was returning to Bethel, and he sent word to his brother Esau that he was on the way, and Esau said, good, I'm coming with 400 men to meet you. That doesn't sound like a greeting party. That sounds like when you left 20-something years ago, I wanted to kill you, and now I'm going to make sure I get the job done. That's the way that Jacob took it. And so Jacob partitioned some of his animals and set them out in front so Esau could see those as a gift. He separated his family so that the children that were with the midwives and the maidens and the children of Leah were out there in front. He had Rachel back with Joseph. And after he got everything set up for the meeting, in verse 24, Jacob was left alone. That's what happens in prayer. You're alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. This man, turns out, was an angel. And when he saw that he prevailed not, that is, the angel saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. The angel said to him, what's thy name? And he said, Jacob. Well, this time he didn't lie. Remember the last time somebody asked his name, he said, my name is Esau. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Jacob is a schemer, a heel catcher, a supplanter. But Israel, which you can tell from the context, means prince. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, watch it, and hast prevailed. You know what that angel's telling him? If I hadn't hit the hollow of your thigh, I couldn't leave by daybreak. You prevailed. He wrestled with him all night long. You know what? He's wrestling. And notice what happened. We get a little bit more light on this when you go to Hosea. Hosea. So you got Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Go to Hosea chapter 12. And look at the light you get on this passage of scripture here. You know what it is? It's a picture of a man wrestling with God in prayer. That's what it is. Hosea chapter 12. It's a picture of you and I wrestling with God in prayer over a circumstance as dire as what he was facing with Esau. He thought for sure Esau was going to kill him. You know how it turned out. When they met, Esau greeted him, received the gift, and left. Hosea chapter 12, look at verse 3. He took his brother by the heel. That's Jacob who took the heel of Esau at his birth. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made, what's the next word? Supplication. That's the same word we just read in our text. Prayer and supplication. Made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Who's he talking about? Verse 5, even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. You know what the Lord said? While he was in there wrestling with that angel, he spake with us. He talked with us. The Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see that? So when Paul tells us here in Ephesians chapter 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against powers, principalities and powers, we have Jacob as a picture. He had an all-night, effectively an all-night prayer meeting with God. He was not going to let that angel go until he knew that that angel had blessed him, though it cost him a limp for the rest of his life after coming out of that prayer meeting. He was not going to face Esau until he settled that matter with God. That's a fight. You use prayer to fight for God's people. Prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, look at that, not just for yourself, for all saints. That's amazing. That's remarkable. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at verse 18 and we're going to see four things that you can expect if you are or desire to become a prayer warrior. As a prayer, this is not going to be I've talked to preachers, Jim Benny was here. He said, you know, I used to get hung up on the outline, spend all the time trying to get the right outline and miss the message. Talked to a few this week and they preached really well. They said, you know, sometimes you get so bound up in the trying to get all the letters to line up that you miss the message. I was working out on the outline and I just scrapped it. I'm just going to go with the words that God used in the text. As a prayer warrior, first of all, you see in verse 18 that you are praying always. Always. Now, if you think about it, you know, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you get the idea that that's what I'm supposed to do 24 hours a day if I'm going to be a prayer warrior. But the truth of the matter is, what he's saying, and in fact, you can do two things. Actually, I can be talking, and I have done it before. You probably can tell when I did it. I'll be preaching and a thought comes to mind and actually pray while I'm preaching about something that's happening while the message is being preached. You can do that. You can actually work and pray at the same time. Paul, I believe, was working on tents because he had to support himself and could talk to God while he was doing that. You can do that. As a prayer warrior, you're going to be praying always, always, invariably, constantly, consistently. We say about some fellow you see, you say, you know what, every time, he's always smiling. Well, he probably doesn't smile when he's sleeping. But it's that every time you see him, he's always smiling. And what he's suggesting to us here is that every time the need arises, you're praying. That's how you deal with it as a prayer warrior. You know how it is. Sometimes you see a dire circumstance and you think, well, I need to call a congressman. Or you see a dire circumstance and say, I need to go to the internet and research this. Or I need to call a friend of mine and I need to call my doc. A prayer warrior consistently, invariably sees that need and takes it to God. Boom, that's the first thing. That's what he does. She does. A warrior. Listen, when you're in the military, let's say you're in the army, you're always a soldier when you are in the army. I mean, there are times when you're in active duty, there may be times when you're reserved and that, but if you're dressed in uniform or you're conducting yourself wherever you are, I think you're taught that you're a soldier and you always represent your flag, you always represent your country, you are always ready to defend, you're always ready to fight, you're always a soldier. In other words, being a prayer warrior is not necessarily an hour a day job or somewhere where you punch in and punch out. Keep your finger where you are and turn to Luke chapter 2. I'll give you an example. We're using the word warrior, but let me tell you, I think some of the greatest prayer warriors are women. And you may have some reservations about women being in combat in our military, but don't have any reservations about women being in combat in the Lord's army. Luke chapter 2. When Jesus Christ is presented at the temple in verse 36, there was a woman there. Her name was Anna. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. So she's nearly 84 years old. It looks like she was married for 7 years and spent the rest of the time in widowhood. What did she do? Verse 37, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him unto all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Notice, she didn't depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Would you say that Anna was a prayer warrior? Now that's like in the full-time duty right there, the way that you're reading about Anna. But notice it didn't make a difference if it was at nighttime that she needed to pray or if it was in daytime that she needed to pray. When she was there, she was, listen, always on duty. You say, well, you know what? I would like to be able to have that kind of power with God. I'd love to be able to approach God in prayer and be known as a prayer warrior. And some of you already are. Some of you already are. But maybe you're not and you're thinking about this and you're going, boy, well, that would really be something to get a hold of God on behalf of somebody else and see God answer a prayer. But I'm going to tell you something before you jump in on that, and I want you to. I really do. But I want you to know what's involved. Turn to Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 12. Because of the nature of this type of warfare in prayer, sometimes the enemy may attack at night. Sometimes the need may arise at night. And you'll have to address the need that night. Luke chapter 6 verse 12, it came to pass in those days that he, that's Jesus Christ, went out into a mountain to do what? To what? To pray. And continued all night in prayer to God. You say, that's pretty long prayer meeting, yeah? Can be. Sleepless nights. Sometimes that's going to involve sleepless nights. Has God ever awakened you in the middle of the night? And you knew it wasn't just, you know, the typical, oh, I woke up and now I got to go to sleep. You knew as you lay there in your bed or got up that God had something for you to do. That's happened to me. That's happened. I'm seeing some heads nod around here. That's happened to some of you. And you may not know till you get to eternity why it was that night at that time that God had you pray. But, you know, when you study any kind of work on prayer, you oftentimes will hear illustrations about mothers of soldiers who were in foreign countries or mothers or friends of missionaries who were in foreign countries who were awakened at night by the Lord and then they prayed. You remember the story I've told you before about a missionary that was attacked by 26 natives as he was going from where he got his mission station funds out to the village where he was working. They were going to steal that money and probably kill him where he was working in Africa many years ago. And while he stood there and prayed, they just disbanded. And when he came back to the United States on furlough, he wanted all the churches to know of the miraculous works of God and of the necessity to pray for the missionary. He was up in Chicago at a church. And told that story, and a fellow stood up and he said, would the 25 other men that joined me stand? And there were 26 men that met that fella at the church one night. And when they picked the day and the time of day, they were called upon by the Lord to pray at the very time this guy was being attacked. One man for every tribesman, and God sent those men away and spared that missionary. I remember when I first got involved in the ministry, before I'd gone to school, at that time I was only 34 years old, and so 30 years ago now, and we were working in a Spanish mission, El Buen Pastor, a mission of First Baptist Church in Beeville, all Hispanic, and we got connected there, and we were helping. And so forth. And they used to have, once a month, a men's all-night prayer meeting. Wow, I'm gung-ho, man. Hey, have you ever stayed up all night long wishing that the bar would stay open just a little bit longer? Anybody ever pull an all-nighter? Nobody's shaking their head. I know you have. Some of you. Thank God not all of you. I don't say that, but listen, if we would do that for the devil, would we not do that for God? I mean, we mourned that the day broke because the party's now over. Would we ever come to a place that we might pray all night with God and mourn that the day had come? and we had to discontinue that meeting. That's what those men would do. They'd gather in there, and I kid you not, it was the most unusual thing I'd ever seen. There'd be just a dozen guys. Invariably, there would be some lost guy that would come to that meeting. And I don't know how in the world some guy would, if he wouldn't come for an hour of preaching in the morning, what in the world would possess him to come where men aren't doing anything but praying all night long? But they'd come. And I tell you what, that fellow would leave in the morning. He'd be saved. And next week he'd be in church. And they'd stick. I don't know how many people we saw saved like that. That thing caught on in La Primera Iglesia Bautista found out about what was going on. We were having Saturday morning prayer meeting and these all-night prayer meetings. And they got men praying over there. And they had a list of names on a chalkboard of these people that they would pray for. And they were coming to church one Saturday morning at 7. You know, the three or four of the guys that were the prayer warriors unlocking the deal. And one of them turned back and they saw the guy walking down the street that they'd been praying for. One of the guys had been praying for. One of them turned to the other one and said, "What do we do?" He said, "I don't know. Let's invite him in." So they invited him in, took him back there to that room where they were praying and showed him that board. And he said, "What's my name doing up there?" He said, "Well, we put your name up there about 6 months ago. We've been praying for you. You'd come to Jesus Christ and be saved." He said, "Tell me about it." And that man got saved. See, there's things God can do with prayer you and I can't do with any other vehicle available to us. But you could have some sleepless nights. Jesus did. Paul did. Notice in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. I mean, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, at least count the cost. You got to know what's out there in front of you. So I want to be honest with you. You say, "I want to be a prayer warrior." It's just soldierhood. It's fight. There's no glory or glamour in it. Not on this side of glory. It's work. And you need to know that. But boy, is it ever good work. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus again. "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he," that's Jesus, "went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." Well, look at that. A great while before day. Going to sleep? Sleep was interrupted, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that? Up he goes and he's not planning on going back to bed. He just prays until the sun rises and then he continues on with his day. That's the kind of stuff that takes place. In other words, when we read here in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, praying always, it means God recognizes that you're a person he can call upon at any time of the day or night to pray, and you'll do it. Always. Invariably. You're a soldier. And you understand the fight. Then go back to our text here in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18 and notice something else. As a prayer warrior, you are praying not only always, but you're praying, look at this, in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now that's very important. The reason it's very important is this. Do you see that in the Spirit? What he's suggesting to you is that not every prayer request that comes your way is a prayer request you need to pray. Oh, you ought to write that down. That was like a poet. Not every prayer request that comes your way is a prayer you need to pray. There are a lot of people say, "You need to pray with me about that." I remember we were one time again back at El Buen Pastor, and one of the teenage girls raised her hand and said, "Would you pray for me? I got a final coming up this week that I'll do well." And I said, "Are you going to study well?" She said, "Well, I'm going to study a little bit." I said, "Well, then we'll pray a little bit." Right? So you pray in the Spirit. Why is that? Because listen, the Spirit knows everything. The Spirit of God knows everything. Keep your finger where you are and look at Romans chapter 8. Matter of fact, he's not necessarily going to tell you what he's praying, but then he'll lead you. In Romans chapter 8, look at verse 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. In Romans chapter 8 verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Paul tells you, sometimes I don't know how to pray. We know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, you think about that, with groanings which cannot be uttered. A prayer list is a very handy thing. Because somebody may tell you something, you write it down, tomorrow you'll forget. You got a list that'll help you remember that. These cards that we pray when we pray for the missionaries, they're a very handy thing because you might not remember what it was you prayed if you got the same card two times in a row, but it helps you to remember those things. But you know what will happen sometimes with a prayer list is, you know, you run down the list, get to the end and then go. And there's no time in that for the Spirit to enter into the prayer meeting with you and use you as a vessel through whom He can intercede with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you understand? We have prayer requests. I've got some right now, prayed for this morning, and I honestly do not know how to pray. How do you pray for Kim Snedeker? How do you pray? Lord, heal her, of course. But what if God has some other plan that you don't know about? I know this for a fact. It's going to be true of all of us. Lying in a hospital bed in minimal to no consciousness is not as good as being conscious of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ being in heaven. And I guarantee you any saint that ever left this earth that struggled to stay alive for a little bit longer that got a glimpse of heaven will ask themselves the question, why did I wait so long to get here? I don't know how to pray. You pray for her to be healed? Do you pray for... How do you pray for Paul? He has decisions to make. How do you do that? The Spirit of God knows. And what will happen to you sometimes is you'll be there before God, you know the request, and you start praying, and then in that, God brings thoughts to your mind and scriptures to your mind that help you in that prayer, and when you're finished, God has done something through you in that time of prayer that is in accordance with His will that He can and will answer and bring Himself glory and bring satisfaction to those who are affected by the answer to that prayer. And we're not smart enough to do that. He tells us. We don't know. But when you pray in the Spirit, you know what you are? You're a prayer warrior. You're a soldier. Soldiers just don't go into battle and start shooting bullets. They have a commander, and the commander says, this is where I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do when you get there, and this is how I want you to carry out the action. The Spirit is your commander. Right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so you pray with a humility that says, Lord, I'm going... Jesus Christ got to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, what do I do here? Lord, take this cup from me. You read that little phrase, but you also read that it took Him an hour. He left those disciples and He came back and found them sleeping. He said, what, you couldn't you watch with me for 1 hour? And the only thing you know He said in that hour is, Lord, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what Thou wilt. Don't know what else He said. Maybe nothing. Had to be led by the Spirit of God in that thing because He was facing taking all of our sins upon His body so that He could die and we could be set free and made free from sin. And He's got to die and go to the cross and shed His blood and be accused of every sin that was ever committed by mankind in all of time. That's pretty hard to know how to pray. He didn't go in there and just go, well, like lickety split. Well, bless the crucifixion now. I hope everything goes well. Give me a little strength and grace to get through this tonight. And I sure pray, Father, that You'll be glorified in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. He agonized. It said He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. That's a prayer meeting. That's a fight, you see. That's a fight. And so a soldier has a commander. We look to the Spirit of God to give us... And I don't mean some ooey-ooey deal. It's just if we're going to intercede, I want to be praying things God can do and will do. Now, what happens is, as you become better acquainted with God, as you get to know Him more, better acquainted with the leadership of the Spirit of God in your life, you know what? You begin to know how to pray. You know for whom to pray. You know when to pray. You know what to pray. We were reminded when we were at the missions conference, J. Wilbur Chapman was holding a meeting. A big evangelistic campaign, and nobody was getting saved. Dry. And that he wasn't used to that. And he was trying to figure out what the problem was, and somebody told him that Praying Hyde, John Hyde, they called him Praying Hyde, had come to town and was lodged in a hotel there. Chapman went to him and he said, nothing's happening. We're preaching the Word of God. Nothing's happening that we can see. I said, I'll pray. And he didn't go to the meeting. He stayed in that room and prayed. Prayed for hours. Chapman preached that night and 500 people got saved. What is that? I don't understand all the intricacies of these things. All I know is there is a spiritual warfare and God said, I need some folks praying. I don't know why that is. God's bigger than all of this. He runs everything. But he says, I want some folks praying. That's why he told us in this warfare to pray and to pray in the Spirit. As a prayer warrior, you're praying always. You're praying in the Spirit. And by the way, that's not gobbledygook. Just to clarify, there are people that say when you're praying in the Spirit, things are going to come out of your mouth, blah, 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 you know, some tongues. These are with groanings which cannot be uttered. We're not talking about tongues here. Okay? We're just talking about the Spirit of God settling in with you while you're settled and giving you some leadership on knowing how to pray. I remember when E.V. Hill was praying for his wife. He called her baby when she was dying. He went down to the chapel and started praying. And you know what God impressed upon his heart? Trust me. Trust me. That's what God impressed upon his heart. Trust me. Well, he thought what God meant by that is, I'm going to heal her. She died. He went back down to that chapel and said, I thought you told me to trust you. He said, I did. Trust me with her. I know what's best. And Hill was able to say at her funeral, God does know what's best. And then he says in here, as a prayer warrior, you're praying always, you're praying in the Spirit, and then he says this, you're praying watching. You see that? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching. Well, I'm thinking of soldiers who keep watch. The guard. In watchings, you are attentive, you are vigilant, you keep guard. You know what that indicates to me? You don't always have to receive the prayer request. You can look around and realize something's wrong in a situation and get praying about that thing before you ever hear what the problem is. You know, it's a blessing every once in a while for somebody to come up to you and go, you know, I've got this problem here and I sure would like you to pray about it. And you don't even have to tell them, but God's already alerted you. I've been praying about that for quite some time now. You're vigilant. You keep guard. You don't have to wait until you get the prayer request. You're on lookout. You're praying like a soldier who's on watch. You're seeing what's happening. You're vigilant. You're perceptive, like a soldier awake at night. Paul said about his life in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that he had watchings oft. In other words, there were many times he was interrupted and watching. Jesus Christ said to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Be on the lookout. Why? Because you got an enemy. He's working. He's very subtle. And you need to see what he's doing. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We've already talked about, you know, a nighttime prayer meeting, so I'm not going to continue on developing that. You understand it. Paul is talking about his life as a preacher and all the perils that he encountered, all the whippings and the stonings and the beatings that he encountered. And then in verse 27, he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You know, that doesn't sound very cheerful, does it? That doesn't sound very happy time, but boy, Paul's going to be way up there, close to the Lord in glory, because of all this stuff that he went through here. But notice fastings often, watchings often, and fastings often. When you're watching, and you're a soldier, a prayer warrior, and something's up, sometimes you have to skip a meal. Fastings often. You say, well, Lord, I'd be praying about that right now, but I need to go get me some steak and potatoes And after I have all that, I need me a nap. And I don't feel good today. I didn't get much sleep last night, so I'm going to have to, you know. Paul said, I was weary, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was painful. And I fasted and I watched. I can't leave, you know what he's saying? I can't leave my post because of these things. This is what my duty is. This is where I have to stand. This is what I have to do. Fasting's often. You know what Jesus Christ said when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and the disciples were struggling to cast the devil out of a little boy? They couldn't do it, and Jesus came down there and talked about their little faith, and he got that devil out of that boy, and they said, why couldn't we do that? He said, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and, help me, fasting. When I was in high school, let me just interject something, a little parenthesis here as we proceed through this message. The guy that led me to the Lord, Rocky Young, he prayed. He loved God and he prayed. And when he prayed, he was not a crybaby. This guy was built like a fire plug and just as strong. But he cried out to God and those tears were just instant in that prayer. It's amazing. If he encouraged me to read my Bible every day, I don't remember him doing it, and I didn't do it. Even when I took the Bible courses, I tried to get the Cliff Notes. I didn't like to read. But, in the course of that, being in school there in Chattanooga, boarding school, he said to me, would you join me in my office and skip lunch on Wednesday so we can pray for these guys in the school? God was teaching me something. I wish that I had considered what I had learned earlier and started doing that. I said, okay, I will. And there were just two or three other guys. Matter of fact, he had a sofa in that office. And some of you heard this story, but that office that they gave him because the school was expanding and they were having to just use space, had been the entrance to that building. It had two wings that go off this way, stairs that go up. They made that the chaplain's office. And it went out into the hall of that building, but it came out onto the steps. So there were just three of us in there, and he was at his desk praying at his chair, and the other three of us were each, you know, kneeling next to the cushions there of the sofa praying, and skipping lunch on Wednesdays and just praying for the folks on the campus. When I graduated as a senior in high school, the room was full. They were in the hallway, and they were spilled out onto the steps in front of that building, what God had done in the lives of young men in that thing. Not because of me, but because of prayer. Do you understand? I don't know why God does it that way. I just know He said it that way. And I've seen evidence that God, we did more on our knees than we could have ever done by going around and pretending to be spiritual giants telling everybody, follow me. Watching, sometimes to the point of having to fast to get through to God. I don't understand it. I just know that's what He said. I've watched it, and I know that it is real. As a prayer warrior, you're praying always. You're praying in the Spirit. You're praying watching. And then watch this in we're back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, with all perseverance. See, I told you, it's just right out of the text. I didn't come up with a clever outline. It's just what He said. I like it. Just what He said. With all perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. We give up too quick. George Mueller prayed for 50 years for five men. One of those guys didn't get saved until 3 weeks after Mueller died. He never gave up on him. Perseverance. Continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties. The Lord showed us that woman and her importunity when she came begging for bread. I'm not leaving this door till you do something. And they gave, you know, okay, you get the bread. Not because you're my neighbor, not because you're my friend, just because I won't get any sleep if I don't get you out of my hair. It's the way the Lord shows us in the Scripture. In other words, you keep praying until the person or the thing you're praying for, you get through to God on. Look at Acts chapter 12 real quick. Acts chapter 12. You know, I know these messages are easier to digest when there's humor thrown in. I don't even know a good joke right now. And I don't mean to be so intense with this, but nothing else is coming to mind besides what you're hearing. And in Acts chapter 12, Peter is in prison, and they are going to kill him the day after Easter. And people are praying, and he gets out. The angel comes and lets him out of jail. And verse 11, when Peter was come to himself, he's now outside the prison, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." They wanted to kill him. "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark," watch it, "where many were gathered together praying." That's at night when this happens. Everybody else is asleep. They're in that house and they are praying. And they don't stop praying till Peter knocks on the door. Now when he knocks on the door, they don't even think, so that's not him. That's his angel. So no, yeah, I believe it's him. And they got through to God. Have you ever prayed on something and persevered until, like Jacob who was wrestling with that angel, you got the answer that you were praying for? God came through. God did something. I think a lot of times what happens is we give up too early. We don't see our expectation pop out of the microwave of prayer and we think, well, God's not going to do anything. God's a slow roast oven. He's a smoker. Not a microwave. It takes time. You know what they're like? You know what perseverance is like? It's like soldiers in a battle who have an objective and they don't stop fighting until they meet that objective. They take whatever ground, they take whatever enemy, if they're trying to kill them or capture them. They continue the fight until they are through. I remember years ago, I was in a church. And now I've been in several, so you can't guess which one it is. And we had a situation in that church where there was a guy in there, married, who was in a relationship with a woman in there, also married. That was not a good situation. Now, we didn't have certainty on it. The rumor was going around, but you don't know anything until you know the facts. All we knew was the rumor. And I was with another friend of mine, and he said to me, "Should we confront this fella?" And I said, "If I understand the rumor right, others have already done that and it's not working." He said, "Then we need to pray." I said, "I believe you." And every day we got together and we prayed for this fella. And then one day, the fella contacted me. And he says, I guess you know what I'm involved in." I said, "No, I don't know. I've heard some things, but I don't know anything." He said, "Well, what you've heard is, what you probably heard is true." And he said, "I can't stop. And I want you to pray for me." I said, "Well, we've been praying for you. I suppose that's why the Lord directed you my way, but I will." So on Monday, I'm not the hero of this story. I just happened to know this one because I was there. I started praying and fasting for him. Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon, about 4 o'clock. You know that peace of God that passeth all understanding? Keeps your heart and mind. There was a peace that settled in over me. And it was just like God said, "I got this. I got it." Perseverance. He called me Saturday. He said, "God's dealing with me." And broke that thing off, reconciled with his wife, and is serving God to this day. You know what it was? Somebody had to get a hold of God. You know why I'm standing here today? You know the story. You know why I'm standing here today? Because somebody went to the throne of grace to talk to Jesus about a bad boy named Bevins Welder. And she got through. And when she got through, God impressed upon me. She never told me she was praying for me. God impressed upon my heart who it was that had been praying for me. And I called her into my office. I was still in the banking business at that time. And I said, you know, my life has changed. She said, it had to. I said, I don't believe it would have happened unless somebody was praying. I believe that person praying was you. She shed a tear and she said to me, she put her finger up and she said, well, somebody had to do something. I remind you of that story, even though it's well known to you. I don't want to ever forget it. But I remind you of that because I'm here to minister to you today because somebody persevered at the throne of grace on my behalf, and God had plans. God had plans. But it takes prayer warrior. That dear woman didn't shed a tear at her own husband's funeral, but she shed a tear for me the day that I mentioned to her that I knew she'd been praying for me. Do you understand the depth of that? You see, as prayer warriors, you're praying always in the Spirit. You're watching with all perseverance. You know what we need? We need prayer warriors. We need as many of you in this work as we can get. Every joint supplieth, every part. They tell about Charles Haddon Spurgeon in the tabernacle in London. Thousands were coming and many were saved. And somebody was there touring around and just marveling at all that God was doing through Spurgeon. He said, you want to see the power of this ministry? Come with me. Took him downstairs to the boiler room and he says, every day that I stand in that pulpit to preach, there are 400 men in this boiler room that are crying out to God. The reason this ministry is effective is not me. It's those men in that boiler room. They're the ones that are getting this job done. Prayer warriors. Yeah, well, if we go down there to pray, we can't be here to hear him preach. And he's an eloquent preacher. No, they're getting a hold of God so God can use him to get a hold of souls. It's a remarkable testimony. We need prayer warriors. You know what my question to you is? Do we have any folks that want to enlist? Have any folks that want to enlist? Well, I sure would like to do something for God. Generally speaking, when a person goes to the knees in prayer, if there's something else God wants them to do, He'll get them in that thing too. Boy, I tell you what, we need some prayer warriors. Anybody want to enlist? It's not easy work. Man, is it tough. And what work is accomplished through that? I cannot even say. Let's pray. Father, I ask you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to bless the work of this sermon today. I ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. I believe sincerely, Lord, that this is what you'd have preached today. And I'm aware that there are those amongst us today that may not be saved. We talked about the gospel, but we didn't preach the gospel fully. You know, if you're here today without Jesus Christ and all that you've heard me talk about praying will avail you nothing until you're His child and you can't become His child until you receive Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here today to raise your hand right now and just say, but I should wish somebody would show me how to receive Jesus Christ. I would do that. Anybody? Our associate pastor back there, Randy Knuppel, is standing with his Bible. If you want to know how to receive Jesus Christ, He'll show you. You don't have to receive Him today, but at least you'll know how. And if you see how to receive Him and you want to, you can be saved today. Anybody like that? If you do, just raise your hand. Say, yeah, that's I. I do. I want to know about that. You're here today and you didn't know what you were going to hear with the preaching of the Word of God. You just knew you needed to be here. And God has spoken to you today. And the Spirit of God is speaking to you about enlisting. Now I know if I wanted the greatest response, what I should do right now is say, as many as of you want to be prayer warriors, stand up in your seats right now and let me pray for you. I know that because it's fresh on your mind and it's compelling. It's so important. But I'm not going to do that. I'll give you a week or so to stew on it. If this message is spoken to you, God won't let you go on that. A couple of weeks, I may say, the only reason I'd want to know if you're enlisted as a prayer warrior is not to count your heads, but so we can let you know when we're notified of things people want us to pray for that are urgent, we can let you know to be praying. And I want you to seriously consider the cost and the opportunity that avails you. Father, I pray for these whose heads are bowed and ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in their own hearts, in their minds, privately between you and them, that's where they're going to do most of the work anyway. Some right now want to enlist to be prayer warriors. They've already considered this. They already want in. Then Father, listen to them as they come to you now and say, Lord, use me as a prayer warrior. And Father, I pray with you and them that you kind of seal that deal and get them enlisted and get them moving in this vital work of this ministry. So vital, so important, so necessary. And others who are thinking about it and counting the cost, work with them prayerfully as they consider and read the scriptures. Let them know what you want them to do and how you plan to use them. They're a vital part of the ministry, but they have to come willingly. Nobody's drafted into this work, Lord. We know it's a volunteer army. And I'm asking, Father, you'll raise up some volunteers who will do this job faithfully till Jesus comes or they go to be with you. For we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.